people do look at me because I, you know, I'm physically different. I could not be around people. I missed like 50 days of school, literally.
I totally get you in that.
I've been bald completely since I was 12.
We're taught to hate these things about ourselves. Time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. And today I have the most exciting guest. Please give a warm welcome to Kiara. Thank you for being here. This is so iconic. Like, for the Loud Talk podcast, this is so iconic to have you here.
Okay, girl, stop, because the way that I'm literally blushing right now, like, oh my God, I love it. I love it. I feel so special right now. So, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I've been very excited, very blessed to be here. Cannot, like, dream come true right now.
No, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to connect with you and talk to you, because, like, I don't know, you can sometimes tell through people's contact, like, I'd be friends with that person in real life, and that's what I'm feeling here.
No, it's honestly, so I so agree. Like, sometimes I'm like, even if the person's like not in my like niche or whatever, I'm like, the vibe is there, but you are, and, like, honestly, I like eat up your content. Like, I'm like, literally just autoplay, like, keep it running. Like, literally, I can watch the same video, like, I want to say, like, 15 times in a row and never get tired of it. So,
oh my God, I love it. You know what's fun? Okay, so, like, when I have always seen your content on my For You page and all of that, and, like, I remember one time I, like, clicked on your profile and I was like, there is, like, I thought you had, like, 10 million followers, like, for the longest time, because, like, your videos were always on my For You page and I was always seeing your content, and, like, so I was like, oh, she must be, like, famous, 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 because I'm like, that's just the vibe I was getting.
The universe saying that we needed to connect.
Literally. Like,
matchmate in heaven.
Okay, so tell me, like, how did you start on social media? What kind of got you, like, you know, tell me your whole story around that.
I got you. Okay. If I get long-winded, just cut me off. But no, it's so random, because I never was interested in social media, like, pretty much at all. I have a background. So I went to the University of Washington in Seattle, and I double majored in public health and Spanish, minored in diversity. You know, definitely a nerd. I come from, like, a Singaporean mother who is, like, an immigrant, like, immigrant Asian mom. So, like, I hate to say a stereotype, but, like, low key was a Kumon kid. And so very, very academic. So, you know, honors girly, graduated early, all the things, and was, like, so passionate about public health. Right after graduation, I graduated March 2020, had already applied for a job with the CDC and had interned with the CDC the summer before. And so, coincidentally, that's when the pandemic started. And the first case was actually someone in my class, which was hilarious.
Like, oh, my gosh.
In the United States, the first case. Was, like, someone from my school, which is hilarious. But regardless, I interviewed with them before the pandemic, got the job once the pandemic started in June. And they're like, oh yeah, we need you back in LA. So they placed me in LA in their epidemiology unit. So I was, like, in all, like, I was literally doing infectious disease right in the beginning of the pandemic, from, like, September 2020 until I quit in February 2022. So literally doing CDC stuff, hating my life because I'm, like, living COVID and then working COVID. And I was doing, like, case report forms, which is basically, like, me going through, like, people who either died or, you know, lived, but basically diagnosing why they died, typically because of COVID. And it was, like, you know, horribly sad, depressed. It was just really, really, really rough job. And so simultaneously, I'd just been, like, posting on TikTok, cutie little TikToks, right? And had, like, not really taken it seriously. But my friend who actually worked at TikTok at the time was like, oh, this beauty brand needs, you know, some help with, like, an event for, like, a weekend. Like, can you be their content creator? And I was like, sure. And basically I was doing content for the face of the brand was a, like, former Disney star. So I was doing her social media and the brand social media over the course of a weekend. And a few of my videos went, like, super viral. And they're like, oh yeah, like, do you want to, you know, be hired on full time? And I'm like, yeah, I do. I hated my life. And I had no formal experience, but I'm like, yeah, I'm over this, because I was so depressed. So I like quit my job at the CDC on a Friday and started with them on a Monday, quite literally.
Wow.
And yeah, I just immediately started working with this person and with her brand and took this like giant risk. And then, you know, less than 3 months later, the company went under. And then
How it happens, right?
since then, I was like, you know what? I'm still not going to do public health again. And so I was just doing freelance social media for different people, for my sister, who's a real estate agent and also like a TikToker or whatever you want to call it. And eventually, actually July of last year, so almost a year ago, I like stopped working for a bunch of other people. And it was like, I'm going to focus on myself and, you know, fingers crossed, hope for the best. And so, yeah, that's pretty much how it happened. And since then I've, you know, signed to great agency. I've, you know, grown a lot on different platforms. I've just become a lot happier. A lot more stress too, because I'm like, okay, shit, no one's paying me. If I'm not well, like, you know, it's just on me. But it definitely has, you know, blossomed. So that's a very long-winded thing, but very random in terms of how I ended up.
I think it's such a like prime example of like your life can literally change so fast, and you just have to like welcome, you know, like allow doors to open sometimes, you know, and take that leap of faith. Like you said, like you had no experience in it, but you're like, I think I could do this, you know? So, and you did it. And obviously like, I very much see with your content, like the passion behind it. And I think that's with so many people trying to get on social media, that's sometimes what locks is like, you don't see the true passion behind it. Some people, you know, I don't want to say are in it for the wrong reasons perhaps, but you just see that like they're not really in their element with it. And I think the beauty behind content creation and social media is you can just like really be you with it. And I totally see that with your content. But that's so crazy, because I would have thought like you've been doing this for so long. But I love to hear that like you had an academic background, because like I was in the same boat, like, you know, like immigrant parents. My parents always really valued school, and that was such a big part of my identity. Honestly, like till the pandemic, I remember having like the worst breakdown. It was like during the time when I was on birth control, so my whole like body was like messed up. My mental health was like shit. And then since I was doing school full time online, I felt like I was having an identity crisis, because I'm like, academic validation is everything to me. Like,
really, everything.
Like, always straight A's. Like, I was like valedictorian, like similar to you.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I was, like,
this okay. Well, I was not valedictorian,
but. No. But you had like, I relate to you on that, because, you know, like you honor student, like I get that. But up until like COVID, I was like, that was my whole identity. And then after that, I swear, like a switch switched in my brain where I'm like, you know what, like I'm doing all this other stuff, like so what if I get like a bad mark on a test, like it doesn't define me. But I really had to like go through that, and it was hard to do that. And even now, like it's so scary. Like people always ask me, okay, what are you gonna do, because I still have like one semester left of school, and people ask me like, are you gonna go get like an engineering job, because that's what I'm studying. And I'm like, honestly, I really don't want to work a 9-to-5. Like, I just don't think that's my path. I don't see myself in that type of position. But on the flip side, like with social media and working for yourself, like as you mentioned, it's so dependent on you. And it's like, if you aren't getting in like brand deal that month or whatever, like no one's paying your bills. Like, you don't have like a weekly paycheck coming in. So it's like, you never know what the next, like when you're getting paid next, even, like you never know that even.
No, exactly. And like, I feel like, well, one girl slay, I love a woman in STEM. And I love that you're also, you know, finishing your degree, even though, you know, you've blown up on social media. I feel like people, you know, can sometimes, I guess, not like lose sight, but like get so hyped on like the, oh my gosh, you know, this is like hot, whatever, which is great. Yeah. But also like, you know, you have put in so much time into that. And so finishing it is dope. And like, not that everyone has to finish it, but I think that, you know, regardless if you do it or not, like you earn that, you know, you earn that, and no one can take that away from you. So that's solid. And also like, now that I've left public health for what, 2 years now, like, it's weird because I never thought I would miss it, you know, like you might, and I'm like, oh, I don't miss it, but I do miss like the sense of, I guess, purpose. With content, like I love it so much, because I'm like, oh yeah, like I know like this is like, you know, either making someone feel better or, you know, making someone feel supported, you know, a little bit more courageous with what they wear, how they feel about themselves, whatever. But at the same time, like, it's so hard because it is this like internet interaction. Whereas I like, you know, public health job, like I saw tangibly how like my work was helping people, and I missed that. you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no one should be working or doing things just for validation, obviously. But sometimes I do like miss my public health days. And I'm like, I wonder how I can like integrate the two or like make social media more in person, whether that's friends or whatever, just because it's just, it feels so lonely, even though there's so many people, it feels
isolating. I know. I totally get you in that. And I often, even when I have like a week off of school and stuff and I'm just doing socials, I feel like I start to go like a little bit crazy of just being like me and my phone. And I'm like, I always say once I'm done school, yes, I'll be doing content, but I always need like something else to be doing, like whether it's like my brand or like, I agree with you. I want to try and do like more in-person things with people to like see my impact more than just like through a screen. I know like if any of your followers are watching this episode, they're like screaming at you because they're like, you've made an impact on me. What are you talking about? But no, because I think like, and that's what I love about your content is you are just, I think, doing exactly what needs to be done on social media of just like being yourself and showing people that they can step out of their comfort zone. Not like everything on social media is so like curated and perfect and this and this and this. And it's so interesting. Like I've been doing this, you know, for a few years now and seeing the impact even through myself and the people I follow on social media and how that impacts your mental health is actually insane. Like what you see and how it affects you in real life. Right. And I think when people come across like your content or my content, it's like almost a breath of fresh air of like, oh, like real normal people like do live out here and like are doing all these things. And I think especially in the influencer world, it's really cool to see. And when you started working on like your personal, like social media, was this your goal with it? Or like, or did you just start posting things you liked?
You know, my original, you know, it's actually freaking hilarious that my first video that ever went viral was a video I posted with my ex.
Okay.
And so it was never the goal. Oh, hello. when I was living in Seattle and like, so we had posted like a bunch of like, not, it wasn't a couples page by any means, but like, that's how I originally was like known. So it was never meant for like me. Not that it was a couples account by any means, but I was posting like very casually, like, you know, like silly little videos.
Yeah.
Nothing. The goal was never to be a content creator. It was never to take social media seriously. I'm just like not an aesthetic person either. Like before this, we were obviously talking about how messy my freaking space is and that this little box frame is as clean as it's going to get. Regardless though, like it was never the plan. And even right now I question if it's like my plan. Do you know what I mean? I think that social media, especially short form, is very draining and it is the most privileged of privileged jobs, but like, it's like, there's, you know, it is just draining, you know, you're creating little small videos every single day. And it's like, you know, I want people to get to know me in a holistic way. And I want to do more with my life than make just these short little videos on my phone. And so regardless of all that, I like would love to always create content, whatever platform that may be on, but I also would love to start a business, would love to branch out and be more than just, you know, a content creator.
Yeah. I could not agree more with you. And like, as you mentioned, yes, social, like doing social media for a living is like an absolute dream. Like there is, that's why I'm like, I can never complain, but there is truth behind it can be draining. And I think when it's you and your phone, like it's really a weird, like mental thing. Like I don't think social media is hard. I will never claim that, especially. And you know this too, like after going through like school and working exactly. 9 to 5, it's nothing, but like the mental side of it, like it can get difficult. And I think with short form, especially because I have been doing YouTube since like 2014. Like
I scrolled
as a kid. And honestly, even to this day, like YouTube, when I film a YouTube video, I feel just calm. I feel like relaxed. I can like take my time, you know, explaining things and talking about my life and showing the products. Whereas with like short form, it's sometimes stressful because it's like you do have to condense like all your feelings and emotions into like this 30-second clip. And it's like so quick too, because you have to be posting like so much short form all the time. Whereas with YouTube, like I'll always think of YouTube as like my safe space and like my most relaxing platform, because that's how I feel making that type of content. And I'll always feel like I'll prefer YouTube over any other platform. And like you mentioned, like I don't see a world where I'm not making content, but whether it looks like this for ever, like that one, that's not realistic. Social media changes so quick, like you can't just hold on to one thing. And yeah, it's just an interesting, it's a very interesting job. And I think it's not really understood until you're actually in it. And especially until you've worked kind of both sides of like a traditional job and like social media, that you can really get a good grasp on it.
No, I could not agree more. Like, I just started YouTube long form, I think this year, basically. And I have never edited long form though. So that has been a different beast. So kudos to the YouTube girlies, because I had to hire someone. I was like, I cannot do this. Yeah. Like, I had no idea. I also, keep in mind, I've never watched YouTube in my entire life. I have never watched YouTube. I've been sent a video here and there throughout my life, like a, you know, Jubilee video or a cut video. But like, I didn't even know how to like look up YouTubers, I guess, you know, it's because it's not the same search engine as, you know, TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And so I was just like not aware of truly what YouTube long form was. But since making it, you know, I'll catch myself, you know, filming, and whether it's with friends or whomever, they'll be like, you know, you're talking so fast. And like, I talk fast to begin with, but they're like, you don't need to like say this all in, you know, this condensed amount of time, because I'm so used to short form. And so they're like, you can, you know, be wordy with how you feel about a product or how you feel in general. And I think the fact that I don't have to cram all my thoughts, feelings, emotions, everything into 30 seconds makes me feel more myself.
Yeah.
And so I really see why people love long form. And so since then, you know, obviously I've watched different creators and stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, this video feels so long. And you know, it's because it freaking is. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, wow, like this is almost like a TV episode. Like,
yes,
it's not
exactly
just like
that.
Short spurts of dopamine. You actually get to like connect with someone, and it feels so much more intimate, even though it is, you know, way longer. I'm like,
yeah,
I know this person. I feel like we're in the same room. And so I've really enjoyed it. It's still, you know, still in the process of pivoting, where I'm like learning how to film long form, but I'm like, I genuinely enjoy it. Like, just not as stressful. Like, it doesn't feel like, I don't know, this, like, it doesn't feel like work. Whereas
I
like
get, yeah.
Feels like, oh my gosh, it is work, you know, like, which I know it's really not. Like, obviously it's, you know, just a silly little video, but you also don't have to like film 10 different things, you know, with form, your mind is everywhere. You could do a makeup video, a fashion video, a different makeup video, whatever. But with long form, you just get to be yourself. And so, very interesting pivot. But girl, I need to stalk you. You're an OG YouTuber.
I need, now that I know you're doing YouTube, I need to like catch up on your videos. But I totally agree with that. I always say, like, I could spend 20 minutes scrolling on TikTok watching 20 videos and feel like afterwards feel like a little anxious and like, you know, but then I could spend like 20 minutes watching like one person's YouTube video and I feel like relaxed. And like you said, it's like a TV show. That's why I mean, I grew up watching YouTube. That's why I started, like, I was like the YouTube kid that watched everyone on YouTube. So it holds definitely a special place in my heart, but it's interesting seeing the shift to TikTok. And also, like, it's an energy thing, because when you are scrolling on TikTok, every video is like, hey guys, da 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 da. But on YouTube, it's like, maybe that's the start of the video, but then it like mellows out and it's like more of a real life, you know, actual vlog or whatever the video is about. So it's definitely interesting. But I think, you know, there's the thing as well for me and with TikTok, like that's where most people are. And I'm like, okay, then that's where I'm going to post a bunch of content too. Cause not that I don't like doing short form, I think there's certain things that I do love about it. But yeah, it's definitely a very interesting like shift. I do want to ask you, like, okay, what kind of inspired you to post more real on, like, because I know you do like a lot of fashion content and just a lot of like about confidence and like feeling good in your skin. Like, what kind of made you want to post like that, especially because most people, one, don't do it, or, you know, are too scared to kind of take that leap?
No, of course, of course. So I definitely like to lean into, like, there's different like pockets, obviously, of content, whatever. I'm a beauty girl. I love makeup. And I actually really don't care about fashion. But it's not even, what I've realized like in like these last 2 years is that I've actually always loved fashion. I've just never been able to love fashion because fashion has never fit me, you know? And so I think that that's kind of what I've, like, as I've come into, you know, I'm 26 right now. January turned 26, but I have realized, like, you know, it's like very much so a coming of age. I know people always say that at 25, and I've really realized that, like, I feel so much more myself. And as time has gone on, I definitely think there's, you know, more sizes and stuff, and for, you know, people like me, and I'm, again, on the smaller end of plus size. So it's still the bare minimum. It's still not even the bare minimum. It's just still very selective. But regardless, I mean, I know it's a very stereotypical answer, but it comes down to representation. There's obviously, I have alopecia, right? So I don't have a single hair on my entire body. I've been bald completely since I was 12.
Wow.
So I actually grew up with hair. And so apart from, you know, being plus size, I never seen myself physically represented because of my bald head. And so that's really what my content shifted into post breakup from my ex, right? And it was me posting about alopecia because, you know, I've had alopecia. I've been completely bald for 14 years. And to this day, people don't know what alopecia is, right? Yeah. Like back, imagine 14 years ago, people did not know what alopecia was. Phones were not like a quickie little away. And so now it's 14 years later, people are still like, alopecia. Definitely a lot more people know though.
Yeah.
So it came down to educating people about what this is and also showing others, especially people going through hair loss, that, you know, you can be feminine. You can feel very pretty without having hair. Hair is the most irrelevant part of, you know, yourself. Like, I know it's, you know, so it's so much cultural significance to, you know, hair, and there is so much significance in general, but hair is a universal symbol of femininity. And so when people go through hair loss, feminine presenting people, like, it's one of those things where, oh my gosh, I feel less of a woman. I feel less feminine. I feel, you know, I feel less me. And I kind of wanted to, you know, recreate that narrative that, no, like, look, I love myself. I would literally never want hair. I love the way my face looks. So I'm like, why would I want to cover it? Like, I love my head. I would say the number one reason I am confident is because I'm a bald woman. And, you know, when I walk into a room, people do look at me because I, you know, am physically different.
Right.
I'm good. As you should. My makeup looks great. You should stare at me. You know? But
I love that.
One reason I started posting. And then the other had to do with, you know, being plus size. And that's something that, you know, I've been plus size. I've been fat my entire life. My sister's fat. I'm fat. My dad's fat. My mom is a skinny little Asian woman. Love her, slay. But, you know, a lot of people are plus size in my family. And my sister and I are only 2.5 years apart. So God bless her, because we got to, you know, commiserate growing up about how limited options were and whatnot. And just seeing people who were plus size on the internet, which was, you know, a size 10.
Yeah.
Big, big booty, big chest. And I was like, you know, that has never been me ever. And so I started posting and being, I think the internet is also what made me feel more confident, because, you know, you get so many hate comments, but I'm like, you know what? Like, it's crazy because these comments don't affect me at all, because I was bullied in real life. I got, you know, I grew up in person off phones, you know, where people would just like make fun of you to your face. So the internet, like, I don't know, not that it's like not mean, but I'm like, okay, like, it truly like goes over my head, because I'm like, I got teased in person. But regardless, I don't know, it was just seeing so many people resonate with my body type, which I would say like an apron belly. And it's because, you know, I've been on yo-yo diets my entire life. I've gained, you know, weight. I've lost 75 pounds. I've done this, I've done that. I played sports my entire life, you know, captain of the team, but I was always the fat girl who was athletic, but I was fat. So people are like, how are you athletic? You know?
Right.
And that was just hilarious to me. And so regardless of all of that, like, I was like, you know, this is what my body looks like. This is completely normal. My body is not going to all of a sudden, you know, not look like this, especially with my apron. People are like, just lose weight. You won't have that. I'm like, y'all, I've lost 75 pounds and I still had this. Like, this is just what my body looks like. And so by kind of showing these parts of me that, you know, are not the right kind of fat, that's kind of what really inspired me, because people are like, oh my gosh, like, I've never seen this body online presented, feel beautiful. And so that's kind of what propelled me to keep posting about it.
Wow. Well, definitely lots to break down there. First off,
sorry, that, like, was so long-winded.
No, you're good.
I'm a yapper.
Yeah, I'm a yapper at heart too. So like, I love hearing all of it. First thing I want to touch on, yeah, definitely like alopecia. I mean, I only knew about it as a kid, because like a girl that I was friends with in like junior high had alopecia, but she had hair growing up, and it was definitely like, I was like fairly close with her, so she like opened up to me about the experience and stuff. But I'm curious, like at the time, I have like lots of follow-up questions for you now
Oh,
from the
please. I
story.
know. I
So
was. Please, please, please.
like because you were like 12 years old at the time, I feel like 12 is a very interesting age in itself because you're already like trying to figure out who you are, and there's already a lot of like maybe insecurity stemming from like comparing yourself to other classmates. Everyone's developing at different rates, so it's like, you know, very weird time. But how was that journey for you, you know, like starting to lose your hair at that age, and like how did it affect you, and how have you kind of maybe overcome some of the struggles that you may have faced then?
No, absolutely. Also, I keep looking over. It's because my dog is like moving around.
You're good.
No, so I actually started losing my hair at 10 and
Okay.
then lost all of it at 12. And I think that it's so interesting because this age is one that's, you know, so much is changing, like you were saying, and everyone is changing. And you're like, okay, everyone's changing, but also like, why is mine changing very differently than others?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of questioning. And again, I didn't even know what alopecia was. Like, there was just such little research done. And so it was me just being confused. Like, I was always very confused. And so were my parents. We'd go to a million different experts. My first dermatologist, love you, Dr. Lee, told me, yeah, you know, your alopecia, your little bald spots should only last a maximum of 1 year. So, like, there was just so much misinformation. But I think the biggest struggle was the fact that, on top of losing my hair, because alopecia was not known about, I was on a lot of like experimental trials for medication. So I went on, like, nothing really worked. I was on like Rogaine, you know, shots in my, like, the injections in my head, like everything. And nothing really worked other than like steroidal medication, like, you know, pills, whatever. I hate saying
Yeah.
steroids because it's like whatever. But what a lot of people like don't realize is, like, you know, it's not like this is like a hair growth steroid. It's not like steroids only affect one part of your
Yeah.
body. And so, you know, I'm 10 to 12 taking steroids. And I, over the course of 2.5 years, I went on 3 rounds and my hair would be long and luscious, like gorgeous, but I'd have every single side effect in the book. So, like, roid rage, so real. Like, my mood swings would be so insane. I'd have like blackout anger. I'd miss so much school because like certain days I was just so agitated, like I could not be around people. I missed like 50 days of school literally.
Wow.
I gained, I think, like 75 to 80 pounds in 2.5 years at this age too. So I'm gaining weight, I'm losing my hair, but then gaining it back also. And then also another fun fact is like steroids like make your teeth incredibly sensitive.
Oh,
And
I didn't know
I
that.
never changed, like, well, maybe these steroids. I'm not sure if they've changed since, you know, 15 years ago, whatever. But I never, you know, never changed my dental care routine, whatever. And I went in and had like 16 cavities in one go. Like,
Wow.
it was just like so many things kept happening. And I'm like, okay, I love having hair, but then also like saw like how crazy my anger was, and my mental health was non-existent. Like, I just couldn't
Yep.
even be around people. And so after the third round of steroids, when I was in sixth grade, 12, I was like, I can't take these anymore. Like, I was just over it. And within a month and a half of stopping them, all my hair fell out.
No, I love hearing like your story with that. And you know what? I think it's so relatable for so many people because it's almost that question of, okay, to what extent am I going to take on like all of this, these different emotions, all of these side effects that are happening to my body for like, in a way, like aesthetic purposes, like to have hair, you know? And I remember having a conversation. I've talked about the story on my podcast a million times, but I want to share with you as well. When I got off the birth control, that's when my acne got really bad. And I went to the doctor and he was like, you need to go on Accutane. And I was like, I really do not want to go on Accutane because I've already had a terrible experience on birth control. Knowing my body, I feel like my mental health will not be great on Accutane. And I don't want to go through that. And he literally said, well, sometimes you need to take on certain side effects if you want to have clear skin. And in that moment, like a like switch went off in my head where I'm like, you know what? I'd rather have acne the rest of my life than feel how I did on birth control. Cause it like my spark was
Typical
literally
man. Typical.
gone. Yeah. My spark was gone. I was not myself. And I'm usually such like a like happy and like bubbly person. And I was just so down on birth control. So I'm like, I would rather have acne the rest of my life than not feel like myself in my own body. So I think it does come down to like how much are you willing to take on, right?
Exactly. And like, thank you for sharing that. I mean, first of all, misogyny, but also it's just crazy because I mean, that's just so true. For sure, it's for the aesthetic, you know, great, I have hair, but at the same time, like the rest, so what, I have
What
hair
cost?
the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah.
And like, my parents, bless their heart, like really never forced me to, you know, a lot of kids, you know, you'll hear like, oh, my parents really wanted me to look normal. Like they wanted me to take this. And I'm like, my parents were like, you know, if you want hair, we will support you in that journey. If you
Yeah.
don't, we'll do the same. But like, thankfully, I also come from a very privileged family where we were able to even have those options, like of taking medications. Cause obviously it's not like insurance is covering, you know, experimental X, Y, and Z.
Right.
But regardless, my parents really did exactly what they were supposed to for how little they knew, how little we all knew. Regardless though, yeah, it just came down to that. And for me, that even comes down to the same thing with wigs, because I actually wore wigs for 2 years.
Okay.
And wigs are like incredibly expensive. And I feel like people don't really realize how expensive wigs are, especially, you know, 15 years ago. Where you can't just Amazon, you know, a cutie little wig. And so I'm like, yeah, like that's truly like what it was though. It was so expensive. It was not me. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this, but for like the aesthetic purposes of what, you know? And now obviously rock the bald head I have since eighth grade. So I only wore wigs for 2 years. And I could not be happier, truly. Like there's definitely, you know, head maintenance, you know, head care maintenance. But compared to, you know, being on pills and like just always trying to be aesthetically right,
right,
nothing compares.
yeah,
Love her.
no, I love that. And honestly, like I get so many people who are like, I love doing my makeup and I love playing with it, and people are like, well, if you really loved your skin, like you wouldn't wear foundation, blah, blah. And I always find those comments funny, because even like as you said with wearing wigs, like even if now you wanted to wear a wig because you had fun with it and styling the hair, why not? But I think it's like removing, and that has to like do with self-work of like removing the, in like your case, like the wig, for me, like makeup, of like I have to do this, like I have to cover my skin, instead of being like, today I want to do a full beat, or today I want to wear a wig, whatever it is, right? It's just doing it for you instead of like what society expects you to look like, especially when it comes to like as a woman, you know. And you already talked about this, like fitting that, you know, feminine look of like long luscious hair, like perfect clear skin, like whatever your definition of a like feminine woman is, like that is, I think, what a lot of us struggle with. And even as you mentioned, like being like plus size and what was shown in the media, first off, yeah, it's typically like size 10, 12, whatever, but it doesn't like extend past that. But second, you also mentioned it's very like a very specific body type of like plus size, you know, very curated, and not like, you can maybe be a size 10, but look a different way than what the media typically shows. And then all of a sudden, oh, you're not fitting that beauty standard. So like, there's always like certain beauty standards around every single type of person. And it's like, I don't know, we always, I think as women too, we always try to like fit ourselves in these boxes. And that's why I find funny, even when I get like hate comments and stuff, like if it's from a man that's like, oh, your skin's ugly, I never date someone, I'm like, I don't care. I don't care with that. But I always find it really interesting when it's other women commenting, being like, how could you like walk out of the house like with your skin looking like that? And I do think it stems a lot from a place of, they comment those things because they just don't understand how you can be confident if you're not looking like, you know, the perfect version.
And her beauty is. No,
yeah,
exactly. I mean, I love what you shared about your skin, because I mean, once you take the necessity out of wearing makeup, it becomes fun. You know,
yes.
Become fun. Same with like fashion. It's like, once I took out, you know, the fact that I needed to be skinny in order to be wear cute clothes that I enjoyed, then I started enjoying fashion. So it's just, it really, that idea transcends, you know, all
everywhere. Yeah.
Exactly. But I so agree about hate comments, because men will always be men. They will always, it's almost comedic, because I'm like, wow, you really took the time to say this. Like,
on a makeup tutorial, like, what are you doing here?
No, exactly. I'm like, okay,
this is not for you.
No, exactly. But when women do, it's hilarious to me, because especially with the apron belly, I'm like, some people, it's, what's even crazier is like, when moms, like older women, and I can see their profiles, they have children, will comment about my apron belly, which they most likely have, you know, just from having children. You know, that's typically a result of pregnancy. And, you know, that's a beautiful part of pregnancy. You know, you just created a whole ass life, right? But regardless, when they're like, oh my gosh, like that's just not flattering. Oh, you can really see your stomach. Yeah, I have a stomach. I'm really not trying to hide the fact that I'm fat. Like, it's not going to be hidden. It's not a secret that I have a stomach. It's not a secret that I have arms that are, you know, flabby, whatever. It's why do I have to hide it? If you already can, no matter if I wear clothes or don't wear clothes, you will know that I'm fat. I have fat features. Like, it really is not the end of the world. Also, what's even crazier is like, no one's forcing you to wear this. Like, really, this is actually just my body, and you will probably never see me in person. So you could just scroll and then not be so offended by my fatness or, you know, acne skin or my bald head, whatever it may be. Like, it really is not directly affecting you. So, but again, I think that it also just comes from a place of, it's not even jealousy as much as like, when a lot of women are taught like there's only one right way to be. And that's not even their fault. Typically, it's like either the people around them, you know, whatever values they were, you know, brought up with. And so it's like how I was taught that unless I was looking exactly this way, I don't have a right to be confident. So why is this, you know, fat, bald girl allowed to be confident? Like that, who let her? And it's like, girl, so you hating, is that going to make me less confident or you more confident? No. But again, I seldom blame the commenter just because I'm like, it has to do with so much more than that individual person, you know?
Yeah, no, you couldn't have phrased that like better because I think it is like definitely a projection. And yeah, we can't even necessarily blame like the individual person because I just think it's so much like generationally passed down. It's what you're taught, right? Like we're taught to hate these things about ourselves, right? So it can make someone feel a very specific sort of way when they see someone who in their eyes is not supposed to feel confident or pretty and doing that. But yeah, like with the comments, like you mentioned, I feel like when if you get comments that people are like, oh, you're fat, it's like, okay. Like when people comment to me and say, you have acne, yeah, I know. Like it's very, and like you said, like I'm not trying to hide it. Like I'm not trying to be like, oh my God, my skin's so clear and beautiful. Like, no, like that's like, I'm very open about that. So I find those comments like the most comedic because it's like, what is the point of just being like, yes, you have this? Yeah, you have eyes. We like, we're
Thank you so
good.
much. Glad that's work. Yeah, great observation. Like, or it's like similar comments where I don't know, commenting is just such a I hate to say it because it's like I stopped looking at a lot of my comments because a lot, so many of them are great, but then it's like to filter through the BS is frustrating. Regardless of all of that, it's always funny because, you know, let's say for you, right? Someone will comment, oh, you have acne, you should wear makeup. And then when you're wearing makeup, oh, we can see that, you know, you have
You're
acne.
trying to
Guys,
cover
when
it up,
I'm like,
lol.
I'll literally be walking my dog or, you know, even working out and I'll post and people will be like, oh, you fat whale, like, you know. And then I'm like, okay, like I'm working out, like, you know, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that what you want? But then, you know, when it's like, choose a side. Like, it'll be like, go to the gym. But then when I'm at the gym, it'll be like, oh, you're a fat whale. I'm like, okay, well,
Well,
I'm confused. I'm confused right now because I'm doing exactly what you want, you
yeah.
know?
You can never. I was literally just having a conversation about this with someone right before this call because I'm trying to post more content about like me and not like just my thing because like I obviously have so much other things that make me and
I'm
it's
a
not just
human. Yeah, of
yeah.
course.
And people like I'll get comments that are like your whole personality is like your skin, lala. So I'm like, okay, so I literally made a video where I was talking about like my education, this and this and this, which a lot of people were like, this is the perfect response to like whoever commented that like dumbass question or like comment. But I find it so funny because when I will post a video like about my nails or my outfit or school, like something completely unrelated to my skin, then the comments are like, oh, you should try this for your skin. You should do this. You should do that. And I'm like, I'm literally making a video. Like this video has nothing to do with my skin, but it's like what's being brought forward. So again, you can never win with people. And I think whether you're on social media or not, like, 'cause you're gonna get people in real life too that are always just contradicting whatever
Yeah,
you're doing.
exactly.
You just have to like remove yourself, like not necessarily, you know, you can't stop people from thinking certain things and commenting certain things, but you just have to like block out like that energy from them and just be like, you know what, this person's not going to be happy in any way that I do this, and there's no reason for me to like try because it's just not going to work. And at the end of the day, like, your content is, regardless of, as you said, like, all the hate and filtering that, like, it is, I'm sure there's so many people that are just so, like, feel so safe with your content, and, like, they're there and just feel, like, represented, right? And that's, like, I think the biggest part of the beauty community is feeling, being able to feel beautiful, I think, is the biggest part of, like, what the beauty community should be about, right? Like, yes, we use, like, we love makeup and glam and all this, but there's, like, a bigger, like, message and like something more at the core of it, and that's just like doing, you know, if a lip gloss that day makes you feel like your most confident self, then do that, you know. I think that's what it's all about in the end.
Exactly. I could not agree with you more. Like, I really just think that so many things are meant to just be fun, and then we like put the boxes, and it's like there's a right way, there's a wrong way, there's a whatever, and I'm like, no, like, if you like it. I love the new, like, the saying that I came across this year, which it's not new, but it's like, don't yuck someone's yum. And that has become like a staple.
I love
like,
that.
Lives rent free in my head, because I'm like, you know, I would never do my makeup like that. But like, why am I like literally projecting my thoughts? Like, oh my gosh, like, wow, that's like an intense wing or some, whatever it may be. I'm like, no, that like makes that person feel great. Like, stop being so freaking judgmental and like putting on what this like box is. Oh, this is the right way to do it. This is the wrong way. Only post when you look perfect. Only post or when, you know, you're doing the tutorial exactly right. You know, that is just not what life is. And so I'm like relearning to not be judgmental of others, but also more so of myself, and like just doing things that I actually enjoy instead of doing things the right way or what it's supposed to be, you know? So I'm like trying to not yuck my own yum. You know? I'm just trying to have fun with things, do things that make me feel beautiful, even if it's not the most aesthetic or right thing to do.
And I think what you said there, like making sure you're not doing it to yourself also, because sometimes we love certain things and we're so excited to like share them with the world, and then people just like shit on us, and then we're like, oh, guess I shouldn't like that. But like, that's when you really have to check yourself and be like, no, I still really like this outfit or this makeup or listen doing the, like, I need to stay true to who I am regardless of, and I think that that's such an important concept. Obviously, you like rate like you're just like a ray of like confidence, and like I love that so much about you, but like, would you say you were always kind of more of a confident person, or was that something you had to like build over time? Because I think a lot of people, like, I get asked this all the time, they're like, oh, Lavinia, I wish I could be as confident as you, and I'm like, honestly, I feel like confidence is something you always have to continuously like be working on. So what was kind of your journey with confidence?
No, 100%. I think it's all a facade when it comes to like confidence on the internet, because obviously you choose what you post. So no, I don't have to post when I'm not feeling confident, not going to be wanting to film, obviously, and not going to be posting whatever I have not filmed. And so I definitely come as like the quote unquote best or most confident version of myself on the internet. There are times where I'm like wanting to be more vulnerable, and you'll see that sprinkled in. But I would say my confidence has definitely progressed with time. Like, if I started, you know, as like a young kid, especially with losing my hair, I was obviously the least confident, right? But I think that loudness, me being very loud, is often confused with confidence. And I think that a lot of people who are plus size fat, like myself, especially people who grew up that way, you almost have to fall into this like fat, funny friend, loud friend category, where it's either you create this presence for yourself and, you know, are confident and loud and like people know you for being confident, loud and funny, or you're on the other spectrum of, wow, she's like quiet, you know, mousy and fat, and we can make fun of her. And so not that that should happen or that that's necessarily true for everyone, but I feel like that was, those were the two options I had in my head growing up. And so I naturally gravitated towards the loud one. I'm a naturally louder person to begin with, but I was like, I don't want to give people the space to think that they walk all over me because I'm this way, because I'm either bald or fat, right?
Right.
And that's just the sad truth. Like, you even see it, you know, when you're watching like shows, like TV shows, whatever, it's like, you'll see, I don't know, the high school kid who's like probably, you know, a bigger kid, you know, a nerd, whatever, and they're like getting shitted on. But then, you know, the jock will have a fat best friend. And so you're like, oh, you know, there's only these two binaries that exist. And I'm like, yeah, I definitely chose this one, but I don't think it was necessarily better because it's a means of protecting myself, not like living my truest self. So it wasn't that I was confident by any means all my life. It was like out of like necessity, almost protecting myself from like getting harassed more. But in terms of like becoming confident, I would say it really happened like my last 2 years of college and beyond. So like from 2021 to present day, so like the last 5 years, I guess. And I think that that happened because one, I stopped wearing a headband. A lot of people don't know this. I used to wear a headband every single day from the day I lost my hair until literally college graduation. And it was because of COVID that I stopped wearing them because I'm like, I'm not going out. Like, hello. And it wasn't that, obviously, it's just a normal headband, whatever. There's a bunch of them, whatever. But it was like a safety blanket. Obviously, everyone would see that I was bald, but like it really was just like this like protective measure for me. And once I stopped wearing that and feeling like I had to wear something in order to leave the house, that's when I like blossomed and became like my truest self. I was definitely, you know, confident, but like right now I would feel like I'm at my peak, especially with my body. Like I've learned that I can wear color. I'm allowed to. I've learned that I show different parts of my body, and the world's not going to end if people see my like flabby arms. The world's not going to end if people can see that I have a stomach, you know? And I think that that really happened within the last 5 years, especially the last 3 years. And I hope it's, you know, this continued progression. That's a hope, obviously, but definitely not always. And my bad days are bad like everyone else's.
No, and I like that you touched on that too, because I think people sometimes have confidence, and like especially like on the internet can become a little toxic, because then it's like, oh, this person's always like this, and it's like that's just not the truth. But I do like, you know, thank you for explaining like kind of those two boxes that you felt like you had to choose one or the other. Like it's very interesting to hear about. Like I didn't have that experience, so it's really like cool to hear that. And I understand, like, you know, kind of being one step forward of like, okay, you know, I'm not gonna let people make assumptions or say things about me. So, like, I have to, you know, be that first person to say anything about myself. So, thank you for sharing that. And then talking about, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned COVID and how that was a pivotal point for you, because I had the same experience, but like with my skin. Because since I wasn't going anywhere, but I still want to do makeup looks, I'm like, well, I'm not gonna first waste like a full foundation application and the time to like do like the flawless base. I'm just gonna apply my other makeup, like blush, bronzer, like insane eyeshadow, lips, all of that, but without the makeup on. And then I started posting some videos like that as well, and I started to really like how it looked, because I was like, you know what, I still feel super glam, but I don't feel this pressure to have, because I always felt like, okay, if I'm doing glam makeup, I have to set that base down first. I can't do a cut crease, a glitter cut crease, or a bold lip without that. But because I wasn't going anywhere, I was literally doing like shower, like pre-shower makeup, like everything, you know, just for the fun of it. And it removed, like, as you said, like it just removed that pressure. And then I was able afterwards to step back into makeup without feeling like I had to do it in a certain way, or feeling like it was a chore that I had to do to even leave the house. 'Cause like before that, girl, like going to high school, I was doing like full beat glam every single day to high school. And yes, I loved makeup, but once I started developing acne, it felt like, okay, now I have to do this to like keep
Exactly like
that
that.
image up,
I
right?
literally can't leave the house without it.
Yeah. Whereas now, like, I feel like people think I'm like a different person every day, because one day, like, and I love like getting the comments, especially from men calling me a catfish. They're my favorite ones to get. But, you know, like when I'll go to school, like makeup free, I'll go to school with like a full beat, like whatever I'm feeling that day. And it just removed that pressure. Of course, there's still days where like I wake up with like a bad zit and I'm like, oh, I kind of want to wear a full face of makeup today, of course. But it's just like those small, like, steps, you know, just to get there, and just feel like a bit better. And it's definitely a journey, but I love like hearing all of that with you. And I think also so many of us take, I think all of us, like not all problems, but a lot of our problems around like self-image and all of that would be solved if we just like took ourselves a little less seriously and made like everything such a big deal. Because yes, we see that people judge us, say comments in real life, or whether it's on social media, but at the end of the day, they're probably not spending their whole day thinking about like the outfit you wore or like whatever. So it's like, we take ourselves so seriously and think, okay, like the whole world's gonna judge me for this, when in, as you mentioned, like the world's gonna keep turning, like whether you wear this outfit or not. So I think if we took ourselves like less seriously, especially in like appearance and all of that, everything would be a lot smoother.
Literally, I mean, I completely agree. I cannot agree more. I mean, it's just so crazy that like certain ideas, like you said, like it just transcends into every person's life. Like you said, like, you know, acne makeup in high school, it's like this protective shield, you know, leaving
Yeah.
the house and you're like, okay, COVID, not that there's any good parts about COVID, but because of that
No.
time, obviously, you know, people got to adjust to different things and become more comfortable with certain parts of themselves. And so I love that for you. Love it. And I love that, you know, you're like a different character every day, right? I how I am, I feel, because I'm like, some days I'll do like a crazy eye, and then other days I'm like, yeah, literally no,
Yeah.
I'm like little naked mole rat vibes. But I love that I have the freedom to do that. And so just not taking every single thing so seriously is something I definitely need to implement a lot more. Just being more
Same.
flexible, go with the flow, where I'm like, yeah, it's actually completely okay that I can go to an event without a lash and a full lip on, whatever.
Yeah.
It's actually so okay. And I like the way that I look this way. It is what it is. But I could not agree with you more, seriously.
Yeah, it's just whatever you're feeling that day, and again, that's like the fun part of like beauty and makeup and fashion is like you get to just like play up a character, and like at the
Yeah.
end of the day, like makeup, like you wash it off at the end of the day. So if you like a crazy bold look, like, well, it's not tattooed on your face, like
Oh,
or if you
literally.
like do a makeup look, you experiment with it and you absolutely hate it, like good thing you can just wash it off. Or an outfit, you know, like you try out something different, you can
Exactly.
take it off and try something else after, right?
No,
But
exactly. I just think it's so many things are meant to be fun, and then we like make them not
yeah. Yeah. And
fun.
that, when you said that resonated with so much, because it's like it should be fun, you know, like you
Yeah.
should sit there and be doing your makeup or planning an outfit, and should be fun, not like sitting there
Exactly.
like, oh, like, hey, what's gonna look really good for this and this and this?
And I feel like the same thing goes with content. It's like content
Yeah.
being fun, and then like you're like, oh, you know what, I think the worst part, just to like I guess loop into content, it's like the worst for me, at least, the most disheartening part is when I like love a new piece of content or a piece of content and it just is like an absolute flop, and people like want more of the same thing, more apron belly, more bald content, whatever. And I'm like, I loved this vlog, I loved sharing this part of my life, or you know, I loved this makeup look and it flops or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
It's like then I'll stop doing it, right? Because I'm like, oh, people only want this from me, they don't only want this from me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, no, but same idea. It's like, okay, just because you guys don't like it, I can still do things that others don't like. Fills my own cup.
Yeah.
And like, that makes it worth it. It's okay if they don't like it. You don't like it if whomever doesn't like it, it fills my cup and that should be enough, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think having this conversation is so important, because like, you know, we're saying these things, but I think we don't always hold ourselves accountable. Yeah, put it
Exactly.
into practice. Exactly. So and I get the same feeling, like when a video flops, I'm like, oh shit, like you guys really didn't like this one. But honestly, like we're having this conversation now, I'm like, who cares if like every third video gets like no views, and
No,
like I
literally.
had fun doing it, you know?
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like some pieces of content, I'm like, I just like it. This just felt like it will make you like almost like giddy a little bit for me, at least.
Yeah.
Like, ah,
And then you like keep watching it over and
exactly.
over, and you're like,
Exactly. I'm like,
oh, I love
ah, I love this. It's like brought me joy. Like, I feel
Yeah.
so good. You know, it sits at 1,000 views, and you're like, okay, like, should I private this? And I'm like, no, I actually should not, because quite frankly, like, I will be those 1,000 views. Like, I
Yeah.
will. Watching it on repeat because I'm like, this makes me happy. Like, I
Yeah.
really enjoyed this. And so I think that that's really what, again, we all need to put into practice is for sure, you know, content creation is a job, but this should be fun parts of your job too. And that doesn't mean that they're the most lucrative, you know,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
fill my cup and that's okay.
Yeah. Well, and that's like when I started this podcast, I was like, obviously didn't know how it'd go. Obviously, I was like, okay, it's very like not even like YouTube long form, it's like very long form. Like keeping someone's attention for like over an hour to listen, like, you know, harder to build an audience that way. But I'm like, you know what? Like podcasts are big now. I think I have like a good message. I want to have like these types of conversations with people. And I was so used to just like that instant like virality from like TikTok, that I had to step back into like my like 15-year-old self like shoes on YouTube, when it was like every view meant so much. And then I told myself, I'll give it a year like of me doing this podcast and see. And then once a year came up, I'm like, you know what, I love doing this, even if like no one is listening in. These conversations like actually fill me up so much. I get so much, like every time I have a conversation like this, I come out of it and I feel so energized. I have so many new ideas. You know, it's just like so nice to connect with people and network that I'm like, if people want to listen in on our conversations, great. If not, like I still was able to have that conversation and get something out of it. But it's like, I'm not saying every day I'm like have that mindset, but I do have to remind myself of that when I do maybe look at the numbers or get in my head about it and like, oh, no one is liking this. And I think we care so much about that, not even from our own perspective, but more other people because we attribute so much like success to numbers.
Absolutely.
So if I say, oh, I have a podcast, I'm like, oh shit, like I don't want this person to look at it because like maybe it doesn't have a lot of
Yeah,
views.
exactly,
But like,
exactly.
you know, that's so like such a wrong way to look at it. Like, if I should be
Absolutely.
like, yeah, I do have this podcast where it's like a tight-knit community and I get to have these conversations and it makes me happy. Boom. Like, does not matter how many views it has or whatever, right? But we
Exactly.
all get in that headspace where we put so much focus on like how are other people perceiving this? And that goes with everything in life, right? Like, we definitely constrict ourselves to doing things that we think other people will appreciate from us rather than doing things that truly just make us happy.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, again, it comes down to, does it fill your cup? And if so, that's enough. It could be at 0 views. And if you love doing it, then that's literally enough. And I feel like, again, I need to practice what we both preach. You know,
Yeah, same,
it's
same.
growing your head. And then I also, it's like, if you do want to grow, it's like you have to remember, like, okay, was my initial TikTok viral? Was my initial YouTube video, did anything perform well? No, it takes a shit ton of time. Like, no one's just, I mean, very few people are just successful like that. And so things just take time. And it's like, if you love doing it, that's one, enough. But two, like, let it grow, let it nurture, you know, or nurture it, you know. And then guess what? Like, you know, maybe it will grow, maybe it won't. But like, either way, it takes time. And so, I mean, you're doing the damn thing. I feel like the hardest part is just being consistent, but clearly you're doing it. So we love to see it. We love to see it.
That's such an important thing. And honestly, like I don't really believe in like overnight success because like yes, overnight success can happen, but when you really take a look back at it, like I don't even know, let's take like Monét Mitchell, right, as an
Oh yeah.
example. She's
Yeah.
been posting for
I
years.
was just about to say Monét McDonald because I love Monét. Like, and everyone's like, overnight, overnight. Her YouTube literally forever. Like, she is, you know, the it girl, and she as she should be. But like, again, she has been posting since forever, and but no one sees that.
No, people only focus on the now, you know? And like, yeah, maybe like all of this traction was overnight, but the work she put in to get there was not overnight. Like,
Exactly. Her editing
it wasn't
skills,
her
her.
first video that just like popped up. I'm not saying that can't happen ever, but like,
No, for sure.
typically, like if we look at, you know, the grand scheme of things, and even people ask me like, oh, I want to get into content. Like, I've been posting for a month. I haven't been getting any views. I'm like, do it for 6 more years so then we can chat.
No, and that's exactly what it is. It's like with, I mean, for me, it's I grew YouTube by overnight, and all my fellow content creator friends ask me the same thing. I'm like, y'all should know the answer to this because I grew on YouTube seemingly overnight. Like, I gained, I want to say like 200-300K within
Wow.
3 weeks, literally. Like,
That's
and
insane.
so that's not even an exaggeration. I was gaining like 10K a day. It was crazy. And I was like, what's going on? I had never, you know, I was just posting shorts, but everyone's like, oh yeah, like how the F did that happen? Like, you know. And I was like, guys, I literally like have been posting for, you know, probably 6+ months, 3 shorts a day. Getting, you know, less than 100 views, posting so consistently for like 3 times a day. Like, I was literally like, you know, holding myself accountable for this. Everyone's like, shorts, shorts, shorts.
It's like
And
you have to be doing it constantly.
one blew up, two blew up, and then eventually, like a few, obviously, you know, once a few blow up, then people go to your profile, et cetera. But I'm like, this was not overnight. Did it happen
No.
crazy fast regardless? Yes. But like, that happened because of the 6 months I put in of literally posting multiple times a day, religiously, right? And so it everything can seem, oh, like this so fast, quick, easy, but like, no, it's actually not. And sure, that might be the, like, you know, 1% of the 1% that happens for them, but it takes time, like with any other job.
And it's discouraging, and it's like the start of it. Like, yeah, I remember when my TikTok really like gained a jump in followers. People were asking how many times a day are you like, or how often, like how many times a week are you posting? And I'm like, oh, I post like 3 to 5 times a day. And they're like, how do you even film that many? And I'm like, because I was working like a 9 to 5
Oh
job. I
girl,
was on
that is
internship
crazy.
then.
Oh my gosh.
But I was filming like in the morning when I'd film, I'd be like, okay, one video doing my skincare. Like, I don't know if you've heard of like, now it's kind of coming up. I guess I was doing this a bit unintentionally, but when they, because Meredith Duxbury came out and saying that
I
she
saw
posts
I
like
know
five,
exactly.
and but it's like, okay, if you like do your skincare routine, one video, right? Like part one of a makeup tutorial, part two of a makeup tutorial, the finished look, I do
Transition.
like a little transition, right? I do my little lighting, like different lighting check, right? Maybe I'd post a video. I would do videos like of me walking into work, being like, you know, showing up confident, even if though I'm wearing a pimp patch, like just filming like every little thing that I could, I'd make it into a piece. And I wasn't thinking so hard about like, okay, I'm scheduling this con, like it was just like make a video, post it, make a video, post it. And it was just like consistent. So it's like you do have to do that. And it's not just gonna come like all of a sudden. And sometimes like I feel like people can feel frustrated when they see someone like blow up overnight, but then you really have to look back and be like, okay, they probably didn't just blow up overnight. Like
No,
there's been consistent work into
Oh,
this.
good for you. I was, guys, whoever's listening, just know I was not posting 3 to 5 times a day. That is just like I crazy girl. That's
It
crazy.
was honestly like it wasn't like it was like I don't post 3 to 5 times a day now anymore, because like now I'm doing like the podcast, and I wasn't doing Instagram at the time either, so like
But I mean,
different things came up. But
it's like on YouTube I was doing that, but on TikTok it's like certain. Also, like I get like nervous about certain platforms, like posting on like certain.
yeah.
So there's like another, there's another like element, you know, depth to it. But good for you for TikTok though. Like it's like I feel like so stressed posting one TikTok a day sometimes, let alone freaking 3 to 5.
That's kind of how I feel now. Like this was like 2 years ago, so now I feel like a little more. And honestly, now I don't know what is up with like the algorithm, or if it's just like me, but like I think I need to take my own advice, like our own advice in this episode of like just keep posting what I love, because I've been like, I feel like I've been so discouraged by like views and engagement lately. And I don't know if
No.
it's like the algorithm or what it is, but I just need to keep being like, hey, you know what? This is the content I have to post, and I just need to keep staying consistent with it and ride whatever this whole wave is of what's happening.
Exactly. Just don't overthink it. Just don't. I know that's. We'll hold each other accountable, girl. Because I'm like, I'll literally sit on a post and be like, "Should I post it? I don't know." And I'm like, "Okay, just post it. Like, who cares?" I mean, we're pushing out so much content, anyways. Like, it's actually just not that deep.
No, it's not. It's not, honestly. And like especially with TikTok, it's so quick. Like people, it's like they see it, move on, like next. They're
Literally.
ready for your next post. But yeah, we need to hold each other accountable on that, like truly, because these are some really good points, but sometimes we just forget to actually put them into practice. And then like this is a good episode for like to listen back on when we're in that headspace and be like, oh, I just need to stop like
Yeah, literally get out of my own.
yeah
Literally,
yeah yeah you just literally need
practice.
to get out, step
I
outside of
need.
it. We could talk for hours,
No,
days. I
literally.
feel like, no, I'm so happy we got to connect. This was such a good episode. I loved the conversations, and oh, I'm so excited to be like social friends now and like get to chat about this stuff. You're in LA, right?
Yes, where are you?
I'm in Calgary. I'm in Canada.
Okay, that's what I thought because I saw your like email with
Yeah,
the.
yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, my school. Yeah. No, but I'll let you know if I'm ever in LA, because I'd love to meet in person. But yeah, no, thank you so much for coming on Loud Talk. I loved this conversation. To anyone listening in, you can check out the Loud Talk episode on YouTube if you want to see our faces and us talking. And we do post every single Sunday at 7 a.m. MST, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, all of the streaming platforms that you watch or listen to your podcasts on. But yeah, thank you so much, Kara, for joining me in this episode. It was so lovely having you.
Oh my God, it was I'm the one who's honored. This was literally so much fun. Like honestly, after this, we'll continue a little girly chat, all the things. Like I
I
literally
love
just love
it.
it.
I
Voice
love
memo
it.
all the times, literally.
No, I love, this is why I love this podcast, is just being able to connect with people like you. It's truly a blessing. Where can the people find you? What's your, I'll of course have it all in the description, but
TikTok, Insta, YouTube at Baldy Chi because my name is Kiara and I'm bald. So
I
remember, but yes.
love that. I'll have all the links in the description. You guys should definitely go follow her. She is amazing. But yeah, that is it for this episode, guys. Thank you for getting loud with us, and you'll hear from me in the next episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. Bye, everyone.
Bye guys. Thank you so much. Mwah. Thank you, thank you, thank you.